Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Friday to you. Brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, it's officially cold outside today.
It's a little cool out there, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you, I think it was this year's Christmas episode of Saturday Night Live. Did you see Jimmy Fallon and Cecily Strong, who's a regular cast member on SNL, do Baby It's Cold Outside?
I did not.
No. Oh, it was tremendous. Because, you know, the gist of that song is, hey, baby, it's cold outside. Why don't you stay the night?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was Cecily Strong was like, hey, yeah, you know, we can cuddle and all this stuff. And it turned into Jimmy Fallon's like, you know, it's not that bad outside after all kind of thing. It was really hilarious. One of the better skits I've seen in quite a while. But I woke up this morning, it was 39 is what I saw on the television box. I'll go with that. It was nice yesterday, man. Hope you got your golf in yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be cold for a few days here.
Holy smokes, it was packed. I went down and played, like every course was full. I guess we're not the only ones who can get off at noon and get out on the golf course in the middle of the afternoon, Tony, because I ended up going to the St. Augustine Shores, the homestead, in great condition, by the way, very fast, but absolutely jammed. Never seen the parking lot so full, and it was 2:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday, so we're all living the good life here on the First Coast. Happy Friday the 13th to everybody out there, day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful confluence we have with that today, with our first Jaguars Today edition of the Friday Top 5.
Yeah.
We'll get into our scariest celebrities later. My wife had fun with this last night as I was, you know, you Google, the first thing I do is Google scary celebrities.
Uh-huh.
Like, make sure I don't forget anything obvious,
sure.
Right? Like, and give myself, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, he doesn't really scare me. That person scares me, and it depends on what you consider scary. Like, my wife went all with people who played roles that terrified her, and she thinks, I guess, those people in real life may have...
Maybe that,
you know,
way. Yeah.
Maybe Linda Blair's head really does turn
right
around on its on her neck, 360
right
degrees, that kind of thing.
I've seen her interview. She seems sweet.
She does seem sweet. I'm sure she's fine. She seems like, the photo I had yesterday, she's had extensive facial reconstruction.
Yeah.
You know, really stretch that face out quite nicely.
Well, when you have your most famous role as a child, you try to stay a child
as long
as you possibly
can. I don't know if that really makes you look like a child so much, but...
A doll?
Whatever the case, man. You know, Hollywood is not for me, that's for sure. Leave it to us to be on radio where you can get fat and wrinkly.
Heck yeah.
And it doesn't matter all that much in the long run. Today, the fan feedback spotlight from the football standpoint. We talked a lot about potential free agents that are upcoming, who will make it, who will not, which player should the Jaguars draft. A lot of people think Amari Cooper should be a consideration with the third overall pick. And at that position, Percy Harvin, a lot of speculation, maybe even expectation, that he gets cut loose by the Jets before, I think it's March 19th is the date that if he's still on the Jets roster, they'll owe the Seahawks a fourth-round draft pick from the deal they made to acquire him. And if they cut him before that, they owe him a sixth-round draft pick, and there'd be no guaranteed money, no cap hit, none of that stuff. So the great likelihood with 4 years, $41.5 million left on the deal is that the Jets are going to cut him loose, maybe try to re-sign him at a cheaper number or spend that money somewhere else. So the question to you as Jaguar fans today is if Percy Harvin does become available as a free agent, and he would be eligible to sign immediately with any team as a veteran cut in the tenure of his contract, not having his contract run out, would the Jags or should the Jags be interested? Should they pursue Percy Harvin? So we'll talk about that. I guarantee you this, Tony. I just remember doing the show a couple of years ago, and there would have been no question this would have been an overwhelming yes. I mean, overwhelming yes. I think Percy Harvin has done enough to wear it as welcome at different stops along the way now that you wonder if he's worth the trouble.
Yeah, I mean, look, I remember talking about this in, was it March of 2013 when he got traded from Minnesota to Seattle?
Yeah.
Never was a free agent, got traded during that time. and the conversation being about going to that Seattle team where they needed kind of that dangerous receiver. Obviously, he didn't play a whole bunch his first year there because he got hurt. But I talked about him being the most dangerous offensive weapon in the National Football League. And I think at the time he was, but he's also such a knucklehead that he can't get out of his own way. This is a guy who signed a contract that was going to pay him $40 million over the course of the life of this thing. He was going to get paid that money. And instead of just being a team guy, at least keeping quiet enough that an NFL team with a guy with that much talent is willing to put up with, and they're willing to put up with a lot to get the talent on the field, instead of just being able to be in line enough to get that money, he's such an idiot that he's been traded to the Jets, and even the Jets are like, we don't want to deal with the headache, potentially, at this point of Percy Harvin. He may be one of the most, the biggest wastes of talent that we've ever seen in the National Football League.
He's certainly trending in that direction right now, and you also have, you know, offense coordinators saying, you know, it's tough to work this guy into your scheme. Because he's not just the guy you line up outside and you run him in typical wide receiver fashion. A lot of his value comes from carrying the football. And, you know, can you, do you have to build too much of the offense around ways to get Percy Harvin the football? I don't know. We'll discuss that as we go along.
Which is
why
Seattle made so much sense, because they're willing to do those kind of things. And he got himself traded out of Seattle.
Right, but Daryl Bevel even said after he left, he said it was difficult, you know, trying to come up with a game plan each week that made sure Percy got his touches in the flow of the game, because they're not that kind of team. They're a team that makes sure Marshawn Lynch gets his touches, and after that, you know, maybe it'll be Doug Baldwin's week, maybe it'll be Jermaine Kearse's week, as we saw in the Super Bowl. It was Chris Matthews' week that week, and you think about that, and I was thinking initially, if the Seahawks had Percy Harvin, would they have been more likely or less likely to win the Super Bowl? Well, there's a good chance if they had Percy Harvin, Chris Matthews, who hadn't caught a pass all year, wouldn't have been active on game day, perhaps. You know, maybe he would have for special teams reasons, but wouldn't have gotten the looks on offense that that he ended up getting. And without him, I don't know if they're in the football game to the degree that they were. So, you know, you never know when those things play out like
that. Maybe, but you're talking about an offense that really struggled through the first halves of both of those games, the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, going through that run for Seattle. Maybe if they had Percy Harvin as the guy running those short routes or as that easy target for Russell Wilson, they get that offense started before they do in those games, and it doesn't have to be a 50-yard bomb to Chris Matthews in the Super Bowl that gets them rolling in that game. It's just a little dump off to Percy where
maybe
he makes somebody miss. He is that kind of athlete that I feel like he could shake something loose for you, but again, he's such a headache that Seattle was like, no, we're not dealing with this.
In hindsight, the Seahawks didn't need him to win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, because they were winning so big anyway. I mean, he opened the second half with the kickoff return for a touchdown. He was, but they didn't need him. But I almost feel like because you did get the Lombardi Trophy, you can't really be too upset with the deal. You know what I mean? Like, no matter, you're going to make some good deals, some bad deals. When the sum total is you won the Super Bowl, you can live with just about any deal you've made. And, you know, they realized it was time to cut their losses, or at least they felt it was, and move on. So we'll talk about that today. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. Also share whether it's your complete top five, if you have a top five. I don't know if this is something you carry around in your pocket, your list of scariest celebrities for Friday the 13th, or if you just want to make some individual suggestions and submissions on that. It'll be interesting to see which direction we go on a couple of these. We'll touch on these a little bit later on in the show today. Hopeful maybe to catch up with a Jaguar assistant coach today. I know Ryan Robinson's been poking around in some of the coaches' meetings this morning, so we'll see if we can bring you somebody throughout the course of the next couple hours right here. Speaking of wide receivers, talked a little bit over the last week and a half about Jerry Rice's admission of using Stick'Em and how every receiver, he said, did it. And then, of course, Chris Carter came out and said, whoa, don't put my name in your mouth. Well, he didn't say that, but that was the gist of it. I didn't do it, Jer. Speak for yourself, Jer. I didn't need it. Michael Irvin comes out yesterday on an interview in New York. He said, I love Jerry Rice. But that's what everybody says. Oh, everybody did it. That's the oldest defense in the world. Irvin went on to say, I didn't use Stick'Em. I never used Stick'Em. Didn't need Stick'Em. Didn't believe in Stick'Em. I wouldn't do it. Troy Aikman would go off on me if I put Stick'Em on his footballs. You see what I'm saying? Stop asking me this junk. I didn't feel like I should answer it. I have not answered one on it. Well, you did yesterday. I guess he's saying along the, up until then, he had not answered, that. So now you've got two Hall of Fame receivers whose careers, you know, significantly overlapped with Jerry Rice saying, no, wait a minute. We didn't do that. And then, of course, Michael Irvin, not knowing when enough was enough coming out of his mouth, went on to say, it's almost like, and I hate to get this harsh, but if Aaron Hernandez starts saying, well, Michael murdered some people, don't start asking me, did I murder somebody? You know darn well I didn't murder anybody.
What?
Just because somebody threw it out there, leave me alone with that mess. Get off my Twitter with that. Well, how do I know darn well anything that you, how do we know darn well you didn't use Stickum for that matter, even though you're denying it? I mean, what, I think that's pretty natural.
I'm pretty sure
thing.
You attacked a teammate with scissors. That I'm
in
pretty
the neck.
Sure.
He stabbed him in the neck with scissors in a barber chair.
That seems like attempted murder.
We don't know if you actually murdered it. Maybe you're just not very good at it, right? Maybe at the attempted murder thing. You were unsuccessful, but.
I'm so cynical at this point. I don't believe anything anybody says. Like, I don't. And Michael Irvin is coming out and defending himself as much as he possibly can in this situation. I don't really care at this point whether Michael Irvin used Stickum, and I certainly don't need that staunch an offense for whether or not he used Stickum. And if he did, he did. I think that there probably were a lot of guys that were using it at that time.
There may have been, but I do think that I totally agree. And let's say, assume he didn't for the moment, okay? The whole everybody did it defense is just laughable. Because now
same as a kid.
That's what the Little League team is doing now.
Right.
Because now you've got members of the clergy in the city of Chicago saying, whoa, we don't want to make sure there's a level playing field. Was everybody cheating? Well, are you denying that you cheated? Right? Jerry Rice admitted to cheating.
Right.
And I think he thought there was going to be a flood. Maybe he didn't even consider what was going to happen, but I bet he would have thought, well, I do think a lot of people were doing it, and everyone else will back me up on this. Meanwhile, Jerry's out there on an island by himself, with sticking his own foot in his mouth, you know, and none of this happens if he doesn't go after Tom Brady, likely in defense of his own guy, Joe Montana, when you're comparing the two as the greatest quarterback of all time.
Probably, yeah.
You know, and that's somewhat understandable. But to do it in that method, I thought it was funny when all of a sudden Michael Irvin is tisking you.
Tisking and saying, comparing himself to Aaron Hernandez?
Well, he said, look, if Aaron starts telling you that I murdered some people, you know darn well that didn't happen. It almost seems like he's anticipating some bombshell testimony coming up. By the way, Hernandez's girlfriend, right?
I learned it from you, Michael.
Yeah, he's been around a lot longer than Aaron Hernandez
yeah.
has. Hernandez's girlfriend is supposed to have immunity, right, in the trial.
Mm.
I saw a report the other day that she was sitting in her typical normal seat where she had been sitting, like, in all the preliminary stuff, like, right behind Hernandez's defense table, right behind him, as if she were a supporter of Aaron Hernandez. So I don't know what the heck's going on.
Right.
With that whole
situation.
I'm
going to testify against you, baby, but I still love you.
You know I still love you, right? Mama can't go to jail, all right? You got to understand. I don't know what that whole deal is. And, Tony, I'm just glad I don't live in the world where I need to find out, to tell you the truth. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get in today. If you want to talk about the Jags pursuit, not only of Percy Harvin, but any other potential free agents out there upcoming in now, I think, 25 days to the start of NFL free agency. We can get into that. If you want to talk about scariest celebrities on Friday the 13th, you're welcome to share those with us as well. 641-1010. Tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. And also, you can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well and weigh in on all that stuff. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday. Just getting started. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. Jaguars Today since 1905. Claude Nolan Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. Well, for one reason, they've got the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville and absolutely no dealer fees. By the way, they're the only Cadillac dealer here in North Florida selling and servicing the ELR as well. An on-site body shop will paint and repair any Cadillac model. Claude Nolan Cadillac, guaranteed to offer the highest level of customer care and service, the elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac. One step away, you can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for our Friday sponsor here on Jaguars Today, Claude Nolan Cadillac. If you'd like to get on Jaguars Today, 641 641- 1010 is the number to do so. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Have yet another list, Tony, of the top available free agents. Most of the same usual suspects at the top that you would expect, but this list I like a little bit better, done by ESPN's Kevin Seifert, you compare this to the NFL.com list that we saw earlier in the week. Didn't even have Brian Bulaga as a top 25 guy. Look, you can argue different guys. I just think in a class where there's not a lot of great offensive tackle players available on either side of the line, left or right, and you've got the versatility to play both sides in Bulaga and be a pretty solid guy, he's got to find a spot in the top 25 available free agents.
You would think so, yeah.
And he does appear in Seifert's. I like Seifert's list a little bit better. I like his ranking. He's got Devin McCourty a lot higher than we saw at NFL.com. Ranks him as the fifth available guy. With Ndamukong Suh at the top, franchise tag would cost the Lions $26.7 million.
Whew.
Don't think that's going to happen with Calvin Johnson and with Matt Stafford both having those, you know, max type. Now, I say max, that's an NBA term, but, you know, those massive $20 million a year type.
Yeah.
Deals.
Stafford's contract is a couple years old, so he's not up there with, you know, the top three or four quarterbacks.
Where's he around, like $15 million, something like that?
I want to say that. I can go check it out.
It's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. He wasn't exactly fresh. You know, it's funny, as an aside, I was looking at that story about Riley Cooper being on the February page of the Eagles calendar, which happens to be Black History Month, and Riley Cooper now infamous for throwing the N-word around. As he appeared on somebody's video at a concert that he attended, what was that, two summers ago now?
2013, yeah.
It's just like time flies right on by. The Eagles, of course, say, hey, we had nothing to do with that. We have no say over that. And I believe it. I believe the NFL just farms this out to some company, says put it together, you know, pick the top 12 stars or whatever. But you go back a couple of years ago, and Titus Young was on the cover of the Detroit Lions calendar.
That's crazy.
And this was Tony came out like after he'd already been released. And the Lions calendar was full of guys that had been released or been arrested that off season. It was really an awesome train wreck of a spectacle.
Right.
Don't you think, seriously, whoever's putting these calendars together, because this is not the first time that we've seen things like this. And a lot of it occurs when something has to go to press early. Right. And you had Aaron Hernandez featured prominently in the Patriots calendar, and then, you know, comes out that he's going to be charged with murder. Well, you don't know that at the time. When they put this calendar together, they did know Riley Cooper's history. Don't you think there's some smart ass back at the calendar place? You know, whoever's putting this together, it's not even like I'm picturing a calendar factory where they've got all these pictures, but it's really some dude on a laptop putting all this together.
Sure.
Who's saying, oh man, is anybody going to get this?
Boom.
Wow, dude, you did it. Yeah, man, I did it.
Got you good.
Right? You know that's going to happen, or it probably does happen.
By the way, I have the quarterback numbers here.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford is.
Matthew.
If you go by average salary per year, he's ninth in the league right now. That's how many other quarterbacks are ahead
of
him.
What's he making?
He is 17.67.
Right, so, yeah, you're in that $20 million range.
No, he's making a lot of money, but Aaron Rodgers, who just got re-upped recently, Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Colin Kaepernick, Jay Cutler, Tony Romo, all making more money than him. And it's interesting when you look at the quarterbacks who are going to have to be given new contracts soon. Stafford's runs through 2017. So starting next offseason, they're probably going to be looking at trying to get something done with Matthew Stafford, assuming that they want to keep him beyond 2017.
Though, that's three more years to go.
Right, but I'm saying next offseason.
Yeah, I guess. With
they
two
could
years
be
left
looking
in the
at doing that.
Possibly.
You got Drew Brees, whose contract ends after the 2016 season, so next year certainly they're going to have to take a look at that. Eli Manning and Philip Rivers' contracts both end after the 2015 season. Now, they're 34 and 33, respectively, so we'll see what they want to do with them. Sam Bradford is a guy. I know this offseason is the first that the Colts can talk to Andrew Luck, correct?
He's played 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, right, because Russell Wilson's up for new deal. He's the same draft class.
Right, so you would think that something's going to get done with
you
him.
You think?
Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that we've already talked about as he's going to get a renegotiated contract. And Cam Newton's contract, his
where's Ben
deal.
Rank? Because he got one of those $100 million deals.
He is, if Stafford's ninth, he's 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th.
Wow.
15 right now.
And what's his figure for this year?
14.6.
So basically, if you're in the top half of the league, you're making $14 million or more, right,
yep.
as a quarterback.
Yep.
Okay? Go through the top 10 again. Let's go through them slow. Let's who's worth the money, who's not worth the money? Who's the number one?
Aaron Rodgers is worth getting it. 22 a year.
I don't care what the number was. He's worth it.
Matt Ryan is getting 20.75.
He's not worth it. Is he worth it to you, Matt Ryan? I mean, I know you're not supposed to pay just on past performance because that's a sucker bet because you're paying them for what you hope they're going to do for you in the future. But is Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan's nowhere near worth being the second paid quarterback in the league.
No, I don't think he's the second best quarterback in the league. But I when you have a guy that you think is your franchise, you pay him whatever you got to pay him.
Who'd you rather have, Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco?
Flacco.
By a wide margin? By a close margin?
Pretty wide margin.
Wide margin for me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco's proven it.
And they both got a contract the same year.
Flacco didn't just get lucky and get hot one postseason.
No.
He gets hot every postseason. And he plays his best football then. And he's not terrible in the regular season. So Flacco is third, right?
Flacco is third at 20.1.
I think he's worth it.
Yeah, I
think
I
this
too.
Postseason showed it again, even though they lost the game, Tony. It's not his fault they lose a shootout game. He put up big numbers once again. All right, who's next?
Drew Brees at $20 million a year.
I know why they're paying him. He's not going to get another one of those kind of deals, is he? I mean,
no, but he's worth that.
If he does, it's going to be like a year-to-year thing.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, boy, he certainly wasn't worth it this past year. A lot of interceptions this past year. All right, who's next?
Peyton Manning is fifth with 19.2.
Yeah, on a year-to-year deal, I get it. All right, what else?
Colin Kaepernick is sixth at 19 a year.
And the caveat there is basically...
It's year-to-year.
Right, they can get out of that deal just about any time without any big future cap acceleration. So he's certainly not worth $19 million.
So. No. Next up is Jay Cutler. Seventh on the list with $18.1 million a year.
No, not worth it.
My goodness.
I mean, but the moral of the story, in part, is, or in large part, is when do these guys come up for their contract, right? I mean,
yeah.
What other guys are getting paid? What is your option? Are you going to overpay Jay Cutler, or are you going to do what? Stick with Josh McCown? Was that the option? I mean, you know, what were the Bears supposed to do in that instance? And if you've got a guy that you think is at least in the top half of the league, you probably have to overpay him. Who's next?
Yeah, he's going to get that money because even if they cut him, you get the option as a veteran to take one contract, right?
Right. Termination pay,
yeah.
You're talking about. If you were to get cut, like, you're on the opening day roster of a football team. But a guy like that rarely ever gets cut in that circumstance,
no.
You know? All right, who's next?
Tony Romo is up next at $18 million a year, and I think he's worth it.
I think he's worth it, too, but he certainly hasn't had the postseason success. Now he's won, what, two playoff games in his career? But, man, I think he's a lot more the reason. I think the Dallas Cowboys have, although they had a lot of 8-8 in them, haven't they?
They have.
I think Tony Romo's a really good quarterback. But
I think that's about where Tony Romo is in the league. I think there's guys ahead of him that shouldn't be being paid more than Tony Romo. But I think if you're looking generally in the league, if you were to rank the quarterbacks, it makes sense that Tony Romo winds up around 8.
Is that what he is, 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That's about
so.
What he is.
I guess so.
That's about what he is. And with all these contracts coming up and then the new ones coming in, that's where he's going to be for a while on the list. Matthew Stafford, ninth with 17.67. I think he's probably worth that money. And then Alex Smith, the 10th highest paid quarterback in the league at 17 a year.
I'll say this. They've won a bunch of games since they got Alex Smith in Kansas City, right?
They have.
I mean, you know, for the way they run it out there, he's been pretty successful. Where's Brady?
Brady is, let's see, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Brady's on
17,
Giselle's dime.
17. He's
17th ranked in pay?
Yeah, $9 million a year. $27 million contract right now.
Who's the bomber?
He's doing that year to year thing.
B2 bomber.
B2 bombers.
Or the B5 bomber, if you want to call him that.
He is, let's see.
Mr. Bortles.
I told you Brady was what? 15th?
17th, I thought you thought.
18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
23rd. I saw early today, he's got like a cap hit around 4 point something mil, 5 million.
Yeah, he's 5.16 this year is what he'll make.
His salary?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's because it's that rookie deal, it's all guaranteed money.
Is the entirety of the contract guaranteed?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
that's what they're talking about with Russell Wilson, perhaps, in Seattle.
Is
instead of giving
smaller
him,
bucks, but giving him
right, instead of giving him 20, 21 million bucks and making him one of the three highest paid quarterbacks in the league. And if I'm Andrew Luck, I'm just waiting. I'm not even talking to you until I see what Russell Wilson gets. Are you
right.
Kidding me? And look, I get Russell Wilson's been more successful from a team standpoint. But I don't know any GM that would likely take Wilson over
and
Luck.
If you're Andrew Luck, okay, maybe you don't get more money than Aaron Rodgers. You'd like to, but you certainly aren't going to say, yeah, I'll take less money than Matt Ryan. You know, I mean.
You wouldn't think. Right. And the difference between those two is minuscule.
Yeah, it's around $1.25 million to wiggle in there. So if he got $21 million a year.
I'd have no problem making Luck the highest paid quarterback in the league because you're projecting. Into the
sure.
future. His longevity is going to exceed that of Aaron Rodgers at this point in their respective careers, barring injury. But Russell Wilson, yeah, there's been some talk like, well, maybe instead they pay him 15. Where would 15 million put you? Who would that put you in between?
15 million right now puts you between Roethlisberger and Rivers.
Which is mid-pack, right? That's his middle of the pack. It's not chump change, certainly, but it's middle of the pack.
But Ben's obviously moving
up.
Yeah.
Right.
With whatever new deal he's about to get.
But if you got a 5-year, $75 million contract, and that would be $15 million a year, which would be seen as a bargain, right, I guess, for Russell Wilson. But if you typically you'd have, what, maybe a $25 million signing bonus in a deal like that, some $20, $25 million, right? So you'd have that guarantee. You'd have a tiny first-year base salary. You'd have like $1 million in the first year, and it would escalate throughout the life of the contract. And then when you get to that last year of the deal, you'd have to decide, do we want to pay this guy $27 million this year, or do we want to try and renegotiate a new deal? But instead of doing it that way, there's been some talk that they just say, here's 5 years, $75 million, or whatever the number comes out to be. But you get every penny, no matter what happens. Injury, lack of performance, team stinks, you get it all. We cut you, you get it all. And they're, those contracts are rare. They're becoming a little more popular in NFL circles.
Yeah.
But not that popular
no.
at this point in time.
No.
I think it'd be a reasonable gamble. I mean, Russell Wilson runs a lot, but he doesn't take big hits. You know, he's got like an uncanny sixth sense to avoid those kind of crushing blows, and I think if I'm Seattle and he would take a deal like that, I think I would lock that in right now.
No, and it's an interesting offseason. We've already heard that Roethlisberger is going to be getting a new deal. They're already talking about that because his contract is up after this year. But with some of these older quarterbacks that have been doing it for a while, guys like Manning and Rivers whose contracts end after this year, Sam Bradford I don't expect to be re-upped there, but Andrew Luck can renegotiate for the first time. What are the Carolina Panthers going to do with Cam Newton? At this point in time, because last offseason, those talks seemed like they were heating up, and then it kind of went away.
What can you do, though? Isn't that the rock in the hard place? Isn't that the Jay Cutler situation?
Yeah.
Cam Newton's better than a lot of guys you could replace him with, right?
Yep.
When are you going to be able to get – look at the quarterbacks right now that are available in free agency. Josh McCown may be the best one, right? Mark Sanchez is in that conversation. Brian Hoyer – it's not a star-studded group. None of those guys better than Cam Newton.
No, and you don't want to have to go play the lottery again in the draft.
And, right, and when if you're Carolina, because you're in that division that is garbage, you're able to win the division. You go from a top 10 pick, then out picking wherever they're like 20th or whatever they are, and in that position, what are you going to get?
Right.
You know, you're going to get a hope and a prayer. You're not going to get the opportunity. You're not going to find a better option. So that's, you know, the nature of the quarterback position. And honestly, Tony, on a salary cap this year that I've seen most projections listed as at least $140 million, maybe $142 million, may go higher than that this offseason.
Sure.
At least those are some of the projections I was looking at today when people were trying to project available cap space. Just $15 million on a deal that big isn't nearly as daunting.
No.
As, you know, it seems like in just real-world numbers.
And Tannehill, the other interesting one, is his contract's up after the 2015 season. They've already talked about they're in negotiations with him as well, but where does he wind up being slotted in this whole thing.
You look at the numerical progression of his numbers. The numerical progression of his numbers. What other kind of progression of his numbers would you have?
Right.
Anyway, he looks like he's a guy who's starting to have it all come together for him. Now, the question is, do they keep Mike Wallace around in Miami this year? If they don't, what do they replace him with?
There seemed to be a problem at the end of the year with Mike.
Yeah. There's been a problem basically since he got there. He hasn't fit in well, and a lot of people think he's just, you know, a deep threat kind of guy, and they don't throw it very deep in that offense. And in Pittsburgh, you had Roethlisberger, who was uncannily difficult to bring down and would extend the plays. And when you get those broken plays, Mike Wallace would be floating behind somebody's secondary and, you know, go on a 60-yard touchdown catch. And he doesn't get those kind of opportunities down in Miami. And likely very overpaid at this point in time. We'll look at some more of the back end of the top 20 free agents available, according to Kevin Seifert at ESPN.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. I just heard Donna Murphy in my ear. Hi, Donna Murphy. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
We're good. We miss you.
I know, I miss you guys very much.
We missed you in Phoenix.
yeah.
It was not quite, although we did find ourselves, I'm a little bit surprised. We drank more without you than we did when you've been with us over the last
few years. Why are you surprised? I try to keep you guys in check. So.
Not some of the time. But good to have Donna in. It's producer meeting time on Friday, Tony.
Yeah.
In the middle of the show. So we've got Donna Murphy for a little bit here with us. All right, coming back, we'll take your calls at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL. 92.5 FM. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday, including this Friday, the 13th of February. Valentine's Day tomorrow. Last time we were doing the Friday Top 5, when Valentine's Day rolled around, we did our Top 5 Celebrity Crushes. This time, we just mashed them together with Friday the 13th and celebrities. We are going with the Top 5 Scariest Celebrities out there. What's scary is, Tony, I know one of the guys is on your list, so I kind of left him off mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I think a lot of people will resonate with. I know one of the guys who's going to be on Tyler's list, and I kind of left him off mine as well for the same reason, like, you know, because there's so many to choose from. You didn't need to duplicate them all. But somebody sent a tweet earlier today with five people, and I'm like, between the three of our lists, I guarantee you they're all on there because like four of them are on mine. Okay, so we're thinking alike out there. But actually, my top five encompasses a lot more than five people. I will explain coming up. Donna Murphy, while we have you here,
Let's
take advantage of your brilliance and tell us who you think the scariest celebrity is right now.
When I heard that you were doing this topic, the first person that came to mind is likely on Tyler's list. So, I left him off mine. So I thought the second person was actually Ray Liotta.
Really?
Yeah. Well, between Goodfellas, you know, his tequila commercials, the guy never smiles.
He has gotten a little darker.
When he smiles, it's freaky. Choices.
Like Copland, he played a dark role. You know, he's played some, like, really, he's good at playing bad cop.
Yes.
I think, in things like that.
And now the kind of formations within his face, you know, the indentions and stuff. Just the type of a guy I don't want to meet in a dark alley, you know?
Yeah. Topographical map of Ray Liotta.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who's hit the bottle hard for 30 years.
Yes, he does.
That's
right?
What he looks like. Yeah.
Or maybe the blow. Maybe he took Goodfellas. He was a method actor, for all we know, because he was looking pretty rough by the time he started seeing that helicopter tracking him. What a great freaking movie Goodfellas is. Holy smokes. The Departed's been on like every night I've seen on some channel or another for like the last 2 years, but it seems like it's on every single night.
Yeah.
I really thought, Donna might go with like Giselle as like the scariest celebrity or something like that.
No, I don't know. You're crazy.
I know. It's all in the Patriot family. Good to talk with Donna Murphy. Let's go to the phones. All right, we'll see you, Murph. 641-1010. Jerome, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Nothing much. I got two questions, one for draft and one for free agents. The draft part is, I seen a mock draft, and it had Leonard Williams going to Tampa, saying that Tampa might get Leonard Williams and then later on think about seeing if they can trade back up to get their quarterback. And then I guess Tennessee might have Mettenberger, so they may not get a quarterback. So they may get Randy Gregory. And then that left us in like in a little position. Now, if we get rid of like, and then as far as free agency relating to that, if we get rid of like, let's say Geno Hayes and we let him go and we don't find the player that we want to come in and fill in, how do they go about like releasing a player and not knowing if they're going to have be able to get a player that's going to be better than the player they already let go?
Okay. Is that just the one question, or was there something, you know, wrapped up in that with if the quarterbacks are available to the Jaguars at three?
What, like where would where do you think the Jaguars would go if Leonard Williams?
Okay, I got you. So what would they do in that circumstance? Okay. First of all, they're not taking a quarterback.
Nope.
Okay, they are not drafting a quarterback. You would think there's a great chance for a robust trade market if both quarterbacks are sitting there at three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, look, all mock drafts are worth what? The paper they're written on. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They're not worth a whole lot. And I love them. Don't get me wrong. I do. I love them. John Osier just did one for Jaguars.com, and we've yesterday posted it. And he said, look, you know, take it for what you will. Entertainment value. Here's my shot at it 3 months out or whatever the case may be. Tampa, Tony, if they really want a quarterback, you don't risk. How's Tampa going to be able to trade back up? You know,
no, if they're going to pass on a quarterback at number one, they better be content with Brett Hundley.
Because if you're doing that, if you put yourself in a position where you're saying, we don't want Winston, we don't want Mariota.
Yep.
It's just, you know, that's just the way it's going to go. Because you're not going to get one of those guys. You're not going to trade up from the second round and get one of those guys. I don't believe. Anyway, you'd have to give up an awful lot. And if you felt strong enough to give up what it would take to do that, why wouldn't you just take that guy in the first place?
Yep.
Because he's such an important players, the most important position out there. The idea of putting Gerald McCoy and Leonard Williams together on that defensive line, probably very appealing, but I don't think they can make it happen. But if the Jags were in that scenario, I think the trade market would be a lot more robust than is. Well, who knows? Maybe, we say that, and we're thinking, well, if there's one QB left at three, it will prompt somebody to move up and get him. But I would have to think somebody would have a strong preference for Winston over Mariota at that point. Some team that would have that chance to come up and get him who didn't think they were able to, and I would think that market would be
there.
Sure. As far as like Geno Hayes, I mean, that's part of the evaluation, right? You're like, well, what is he worth? What does he do for us? What is he worth at that price? Can we bring him back? You're always going to try. You can't know who you're going to get to replace him. You just can't. You may have some targets in free agency or the draft. You may know the overall strength of the outside linebacker position. And I think they probably are going to try to upgrade that spot. But you can't know at the time you release him. I mean, those are factors that you have to factor in. But bottom line, you got to look at Geno Hayes and say, under this kind of formula, with this much salary cap space, this big a cap, how much money are we willing to allocate to him for what he brings to the table? And if he's willing to sign for that, then maybe you bring him back. If he's not, then you're going to say, you know what? We could probably find that production for a cheaper price somewhere else.
And look, you probably want to re-sign JT Thomas because of the flexibility he gives you there, too. Uh-huh. And he's going to be a free agent this offseason as well. So if you feel like the team's prioritizing re-signing JT Thomas over Geno Smith, Geno Hayes, excuse me.
I do it all the time.
I do, too.
Can't help
and,
it.
Look, I feel like they're going to re-sign JT Thomas because he can play all three of those linebacker
positions.
I hope so. And then if Geno's not back in the fold and you don't find somebody to play that position, then JT is capable of playing in that auto spot. I think that they're still going to be looking to try to upgrade that auto and try to find one of those outside linebackers that fits what they want to do out there. But it feels like the team right now is leaning towards bringing JT back, and we'll see what they do with Geno.
I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see them add an outside linebacker. And I think that they are at least somewhat intrigued by Jeremiah George as well, who couldn't really stay healthy last year.
Yeah.
But they think, you know, who knows, maybe another year playing behind Posluszny, and he could push, if not for a starter's role the year after that, at least be a quality backup on the interior side. The thing about JT Thomas is he's got the versatility to play all three spots in the linebacker core for this football team, and that to me is worth something considerable, and I'm sure they'd like him back. I'm hoping for the Jags' sake that he doesn't get a lot of attention on the free agent market. I don't know how much he would, but you never know. Guys like that sometimes get, much as the Jags may look at last year and say, Toby Gerhart, you wouldn't think necessarily was there going to be a big market for him. You never know who's going to love your guy who was not necessarily a starter before he hit free agency. Let's go to Jim next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, guys. Listen, a couple things. Tony, I know you had a Sharknado 2 watch party last year.
Yeah.
Now that Sharknado 3 is coming out, you need to talk to Shad and see if we have a watch party at the stadium on the big screens. I think it'd be perfect for Sharknado 3.
Get that done, Tony.
Yeah.
There you go. And then also, one other thing you said earlier, Linda Blair, I don't know what she's like now, but I met her when mid-70s. She was shopping at the Orange Park Mall. She was hanging out with the guys from Skinnerd. And this was back in the day when they were just Skinnerd. Everybody knew them if you lived in Orange Park. But the bottom line is I met her. She sat at the food court and talked to about three of us who were, you know, hanging out at the mall. And she was not like the child stars nowadays. She was kind of like just really nice girl. So that was kind of interesting that. Now, I guarantee you my scariest person is not on any of your lists.
All right.
Okay, mine is Rosie O'Donnell, and I'll tell you why.
That's on Rick Ballew's list.
That was a movie a long time ago called Breakfast at Eden. That was garbage movie. Dan Aykroyd was in it and Dana Delaney. But all I know is this, is early in the movie there was a pic that Rosie O'Donnell was in a red bustier in a strip club. That's enough to scare anybody. Okay?
All right.
I mean, I will never buy my wife anything red in the lingerie department because it just, that's imprinted on my mind having to see that.
Red out.
And lastly, on the free agent side of things, I was in South Florida, and if you guys have talked about this, I apologize, but I was reading an article, I guess it was on NFL.com or ESPN, about the Jags may be interested in Greg Hardy. I was like, really? I mean, we just had with, Justin Blackman. I'm kind of curious what you guys take on that was. If that's even a consideration, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, man. Well, Pete Prisco wrote a story, and that may be where you saw it. He said, I think it was four teams that may be interested, maybe fits for Greg Hardy, and listed the Jags as one of those teams. So that may have been where you saw it. When you look at what Greg Hardy, you look at the trial testimony that he was accused of. I mean, physically assaulting his girlfriend, throwing around, having, just this whole, look, own all the guns you like, but this, lay them all out on the bed, throw the girl on top of a pile of guns and tell her you're going to kill her. I don't know. I'm not a choir boy myself, but I'm not that. I don't know if you want to bring Greg Hardy into this locker room. I just don't know. And Dave Caldwell said we don't have to have all choir boys. Greg Hardy can play. There's no question about that.
Oh, yeah.
He's likely facing a 6-game suspension because he doesn't have, he got, the way the North Carolina judicial system is set up, to my understanding, my understanding is limited to reading some articles about the Greg Hardy process, was that you're found guilty, but it's like the way it's set up there, it's set up for an automatic appeal that initial guilty finding is not the same as a conviction in a court of law. And then if it proceeds from there, you go on and you get an automatic appeal, and then basically you're tried and you're either found not guilty or guilty. I don't know. Could he help him on the field? No question he could help him on the field. Do I trust Greg Hardy to stay out of trouble? I don't personally. That's a question for Dave Caldwell. I can't read his mind. I don't know what his level of interest is going to be in a guy like that.
I don't get the sense that the Jaguars are the type of team that would be interested in Greg Hardy, but I wouldn't have a big problem if they did go out. But because of what he can give you on the field, it's such a major upgrade over what they have right now. I'd rather them go after JPP because I think they're kind of the same type of player, and they've had similar numbers in their career. I think Pierre Paul may even be better against the run than Greg Hardy is.
They're both pretty good against the run.
The JPP deal is he's got back issues. And so you're talking about a guy who's got off-field issues and a guy who's got injury issues. And if they're hitting the free agent market, that's why. You know, because they are super talented players.
Right. The off-field issues are why Hardy's hitting it.
Right.
Otherwise, they franchised him last year. Had he had his typical season, they'd probably be working out a long-term contract with him in Carolina right now.
You don't have players hit free agency clean very often, especially players that are double-digit sack guys. Those guys don't hit free agency for reasons other than there may be something dealing with off-field issues, injury, or age. Those are the reason those type of players usually become available.
All right, let's get David in quickly before we break. Hi, David. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, I wanted to chime in on your list there of crazy people.
Scary celebrities, yes.
Yeah, I would put Mickey Rourke on that list.
Okay.
And but the top of my list would have to be Gary Busey.
I think he's going to top several lists. Let's just leave it at that, and we'll get to that coming up. He seems to be an unstable individual. Mickey Rourke looks like one. I don't know how scary Mickey Rourke actually is.
Mickey Rourke is the type of guy, I'm pretty sure he hangs out with bicycle gangs. Like, I'm pretty sure that's real.
Right.
That he does that kind of thing. Mickey's the type of dude that I think could be scary in the right circumstance. I wouldn't want to piss off Mickey Rourke, but he also seems like he'd be a lot of fun. The stories that guy would have as a guy who's been a professional boxer in multiple countries,
right,
and come back and done things the hard way in Hollywood, I think he'd be really fascinating to sit down and have a conversation with.
We'll get to our top five coming up in about 20 minutes. Coming up next, we've got this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville on this date, February 13th, 1937, Tony.
Ho!
NFL's Boston Redskins packed up and moved to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Also, birthdays on this date, Reuben Brown, outstanding offensive lineman for a long time, was born on this date in 1970. Charlie Garner, at one point, the record holder for receptions by a running back in a single season, I believe, belonged to Charlie Garner. Matt Forte shattered the mark this year. And on this date in 1977, Tony, the man who paid for all his fines with straight cash, Randy Moss, was born. Rookie record holder with 17 touchdown receptions in his rookie season. Also holds a Pro Bowl record of 212 receiving yards in a game. Not too shabby. 153 touchdowns on the career by Randy Moss. Traded by the Vikings to the Raiders in 2005 for a seventh-round pick,
mm-hmm,
a 2005 first-round pick, which turned out to be Troy Williamson. There's your Jaguar connection. And linebacker Napoleon Harris. Then traded by the Raiders to the Patriots for a fourth-round pick, which turned into John Bowie. And then traded by the Patriots ultimately for along with a 2012 seventh round pick, for a 2011 third round pick. They traded him to the Vikings for the pick that turned out to be Ryan Mallett, who could be the Houston Texans starting quarterback in this upcoming season. So Patriots certainly got the best end of all those trade scenarios.
Oh yeah,
Randy Moss accused of basically dogging it in Oakland, although he didn't hurt his back. People forget that he hurt his back very early in his Oakland career, and I think at least for one full season it really affected him out there. But he goes to New England, sets a single-season record for touchdown receptions, and just was a completely different guy, a more motivated Randy Moss. Regardless, to me, first ballot Hall of Famer, if I had any say in the matter. That is this date in football history. It's brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. If you need fencing for your home, your place of business, you're not going to find any better than the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, the calendar manufacturers obviously need to be reined in. Last year, you may remember, there was a Florida Gators team calendar that featured accused murderer Aaron Hernandez 1 month, and the university was forced to answer a bunch of questions about that. This time, the calendar snafu hit in the city of Philadelphia and again involved a former Gator. Wide receiver Riley Cooper is featured in the team's calendar in the month of February, which on the surface is a who-cares moment. February, though, is Black History Month, and Riley Cooper is very white. And more importantly, Riley Cooper is a white wide receiver who was caught on camera saying some racially charged things in 2013 that's created some waves in that locker room with some of his black teammates. The Eagles say that they don't have any control over the calendar, the same thing we heard from the Gators last year. Maybe it's time the team decides who goes in what month instead of a third largely uninterested party. just the thought.
This is a new instead. Look, we've got quality control coaches. We have senior offensive assistants. We have all these positions that we really don't know what they do. Let's have a calendar coach. Calendar
you don't even
guy.
Need a calendar coach. I bet I could walk down the hallway right now and find five guys who could put together a Jaguars calendar.
You could do it.
I mean, it's really not
you
that
should
difficult.
Volunteer for it, and then we will pick it apart for the next 12 months.
But Peyton Manning, according to a source, met with the Broncos CEO Joe Ellis and Vice President of Football Operations / General Manager John Elway yesterday to discuss his possible return to the team in 2015. There hasn't been any word yet on whether Manning will be back in Denver next season, and he still has that exam on his surgically repaired neck that he will need to pass before he says anything publicly about his plans. But it certainly feels right now to me like Peyton Manning's probably going to be back in the fold in Denver next
year. I do not get, and I have seen the reports, and I don't know if there's speculation or I guess was it Jason Cole reporting that the Broncos may not want Peyton Manning back? Was it Cole who did that?
Might have been, yeah.
I want to say it was Jason Cole of Yahoo. Anyway, whomever it was, there was a report out there that the Broncos may be considering, is it better for them not to spend $19 million on Peyton Manning? No. to me, the answer is no. I mean, look, will it slow down Brock Osweiler's development? Yes, but are you going to win this year with Brock Osweiler? And I hear Jeff Prosser saying, well, there's no way that they're, I guarantee you they're not winning the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Wow. I guarantee you they're not winning the Super Bowl if they don't have Peyton Manning.
Right.
I think that much I can feel 100% confident in. They're not going to upgrade the quarterback position without him on the roster. And, well, yeah, he's had a lot of shortcomings in the postseason. There's no question about it. Give me Peyton Manning healthy going into the playoffs over Brock Osweiler or whatever else you're going to get to replace him this year, and you're basically writing off a year if you're the Denver Broncos.
Well, for sure.
So, you know, to me, it's not a very difficult question in this whole process. Bring the guy back, and I thought the Broncos actually have some relatively decent cap room. I mean, you look at the Jags. What the Jags have is an absurd amount of cap room, projected to be almost $62 million under the cap, okay, depending on what, based on $140 million projected salary cap for this upcoming year, the Jags would have nearly $40 million in cap space, plus they could roll over almost $22 million from last year. That's an obscene amount of money. The Broncos, Tony, when you combine both figures, would have $24 million available. That's a lot of money for a team that sees itself as a contender.
Yeah.
You know, to go out and spend, you go to the opposite end of the list, and the New Orleans Saints are $27 million over, nearly 28 over the cap. Holy smokes, how's that team going to do anything? Forget Mark Ingram coming back to New Orleans next year, and probably a lot of other guys along with them. They'll restructure a couple of contracts. They always find a way to get under the cap when it's all said and done, because you have to be. But $28 million.
That's a lot of work.
Is a lot of work to get done. I believe we have Ken on the line, 641-1010. Let's get a call in here. Ken, you're next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Good morning. How about you?
Good. What's going on?
It's more of a comment than maybe even a research request, but yesterday you made a comment that the running back, if you added up all the payroll, I guess, and make sure I understand that I'm correct on this, that they took up only 5% of the total NFL payroll last year.
Total 5% of the salary cap. It's not exactly 5%, but it's right about 5%. This is based on a graphic I saw on ESPN, one of their NFL Live afternoon shows. They're talking about that in relation to quarterbacks taking up nearly 10% of teams' salary caps. And that's not just for the starters. That's for, you figure, you have two or three quarterbacks on a roster. You have probably five running backs on a roster. Mm-hmm. So, you know, individually even less. But, yes, that's correct. What's your point on that?
Well, when you said that, it kind of raised a question in my mind, and you even just made a comment earlier about how Justin Forsett just, I guess, broke the record for most receptions by a running back this year.
Matt Forte,
I think it might be very interesting research to take a look at the production of all the running backs from a rushing standpoint, and then from a yards after catch standpoint, and kind of do the math and look at the ROI, if you will, on that 5% or whatever it might be. And, you know, the general consensus is over the last couple of years that the value of running backs is going down. But what the value the teams are getting out of them based on what they're paying, they're getting a heck of a return on investment.
That's one way to look at it.
Sure.
You know, certainly. But I guess the reason why, though, the cost or the percentage of the cap is going down, or at least my guess, Ken and Tony, is that they feel like they're more interchangeable than ever. And why pay this guy $10 million when I could pay several of these guys over here $2 million bucks and I'm going to get the same thing out of it? The Patriots end up winning the Super Bowl, okay, without hardly running the football at all in the game. Now, Shane Vereen played a large role, but he was basically playing a slot receiver position in that football game. LeGarrette Blount was their most threatening ball carrier late in the season and into the postseason. They picked him up off the waiver wire because Pittsburgh outright cut him and signed him to a cheap two-year deal, prorated. And so you're right. They're getting, I mean, teams still get good production out of these guys. What is Marshawn Lynch set to make? Like, was it $7.5 million?
7.5, yeah.
Okay, so that's not a small chunk of money, but
that makes him the sixth highest paid running back in the league.
Sixth highest, right, at 7.5, and arguably the most important running back to his team's success, right? I mean, you could argue DeMarco Murray. Sorry, you could argue a lot of guys, but he's in that conversation for the way they play. So, yeah, I would agree with Ken that teams are probably getting a bargain, a good return on their investment in total for what they get out of their running backs, because you're still running the ball at least 40% of the time, even the pass-happy teams, on a typical season-long balance, are going to run it 40% of the time, and some teams are going to run it significantly more than that. So, yeah, but that's just kind of the nature of the position now. And they feel like they're interchangeable, and they don't want to pay any one guy special money. Some guys are still going to get it, but that's why you sit here and you know, you look at what DeMarco Murray did, set a Cowboys single-season record for rushing, beat Emmitt Smith's mark, and who knows if they're even going to bring him back.
Right.
You know? Bill Polian's stumping pretty hard for that to happen, but he talks out of both sides of his mouth on it, too. I was watching him the other day, and he's like, you know, he's special. What he brings to that offense, you can't discount. And then in the next breath, he's saying, but buyer beware with all the touches that he had last year. And that's the reason, you know. They felt like, hey, last year of his deal, we can run this guy into the ground if we want to and probably replace him with a reasonable facsimile behind the offensive line that we're throwing out there. So, yeah, you're right about that. They probably are getting a better return than they're paying, but that's the market, right? That is what the market will bear. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll give you our top five scary celebrities on this Friday the 13th / Valentine's edition of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on a Cardinal and Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, today, Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. You can weigh in on this on Twitter, Facebook, call the program, think it in your own head, try to send us some positive brain waves. Should the Jags go after Percy Harvin if the Jets cut him loose? We'll get to that coming up. Friday Top 5 makes its glorious return to the program, Tony. There was never any issue with the Friday Top 5, right?
No.
I mean, Brent Martineau always had a ready list of pop culture references that he could go to. I never lost place of whose turn it was to go in the Friday Top 5.
Never.
Always very smooth, highly entertaining, and that's what we're looking for here on Jaguars Today. So, with Valentine's Day, and the crutch we went with last time was your top five celebrity crushes.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlett Joe hasn't moved off the top of the mountain for me. So we combine that with Friday the 13th, and we go with your top five scariest celebrities for the first time in Jaguars Today history. Let's start the countdown.
Number five.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
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 Number five.
It's back, Tony. It's like it never went away. All right, Tony Smith, start us off. We're counting them down from five to one, five being the fifth most scary celebrity. Who'd you get?
You know, the universe of scary celebrities is so big, and there's so many options to choose from, and I decided to start with a classic option.
Classic.
Off the top, and I was debating between three figures. I'm not going to say all the names because we can talk about that afterwards in case someone else has one of these guys
okay
on their list. But even if you've never, this is my hipster pick, even if you've never seen the film Nosferatu, which was kind of the original Dracula on screen.
Long fingers.
Max Schreck is terrifying. He is terrifying. And I actually, I watched it this year for the first time. Maybe the scariest Dracula movie I've ever seen, just cause it's a silent picture, but Max Schreck freaks me the flip out. Like, every time on screen.
I didn't know you were going to censor yourself there.
Every time he's on screen, I'm like, ah, I get the heebie-jeebies. Like, I look at pictures of him today on the internet, I'm like, that dude is flat-out scary. He's German, and he's got these sunken-in eyes, and he looks like a freaking vampire. Like, there were rumors that he did the part so well because he actually was a vampire. Like, people actually put that out there. But number five for me is Max Schreck, and if you don't know who that is, just put it in Google, and you will freak yourself out.
All right, there you go. Tony going old school.
Oh, yeah.
With Nosferatu.
1922, I think he was made.
Going way back there. Tyler, I don't know about you. I stuck with living celebrities. The dead don't scare me, although the undead, I suppose, could scare you.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going with Max Schreck. Tyler has a much younger point of view than we do, Tony. I don't know what that means for his list, but let's find out, Tyler. Who do you have at number five?
Oh, you'll know all these guys. At number five, I have a guy who always wears a do-rag, has a perfectly shaven beard, and is not afraid to open up a can of Whoop-A, and that is Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice is scary.
Kimbo's scary.
You think the physical danger of meeting him behind the Circle K for one of those bare knuckle brawls is a real imminent threat.
I've seen him break too many skulls on YouTube to not be afraid of him, so.
I feel like there is enough money in the world for somebody to pay Kimbo Slice enough that he will come sucker punch me.
Oh, there's certainly.
Oh, that's happened. There's YouTube clips of him paying someone to spear him or punch him in the stomach, people getting paid like $1,000 or $2,000 to get punched by Kimbo. I would never take that.
When's the last time Kimbo made any real cash? So, absolutely. I don't think it would even take that much, Tony.
He's got the look.
Tyler, you and I could get it together and probably, probably make this happen. All right, my number five. I went with more people that are unsettling,
mm-hmm.
You know, just
Max
off.
Schreck is unsettling.
All right, but people who are, like, really off to me, mm-hmm. Not so much the characters they played. I went with Crispin Glover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love that guy.
I mean, but he's fun to watch. He's a nut job, right?
He is.
I mean, he's very unpredictable, Tony, and unpredictable to me is scary, okay? That when you think this guy may do something really inappropriate or dangerous to you or in your vicinity.
Oh, he's a legit psychopath.
Yeah, he is, I think, you know, at least half a psychopath. Letterman walked off the stage when he almost kicked him in the face.
Yep. I actually tweeted out a video to Duval Doom today. He said that he was thinking about watching all the Friday the 13th movies. And my favorite scene in the entire series of Friday the 13th is the one where Crispin Glover was in the movie and he's doing this power dancing metal dance. I friggin' love it. Like, the guy on screen I love, but you're right. He's completely nuts.
He's Looney Tunes. All right, so there you go. Number five, let's continue the countdown.
1, 2, 3, 4.
4, 4, 4, 4, 4.
Number four.
Top five scariest celebrities. The countdown continues with number four. Tyler Devitt, lead us off. Who is your number four scary celebrity?
No explanation needed. Gary Busey.
Yeah. Gary, I left him off mine because I know he's probably going to be on both of your lists. And I, you know what? No explanation needed. I think he's right. Tony, you can explain later if you feel the need to. And
maybe
if he
I
does
will.
Grace your list, but, I didn't put him in mind because I think I just wanted to highlight some other crazies that are out there. Gary Busey has a few screws loose. There's no question about that. My number four scary celebrity is Mike Tyson. And it's not strictly for just being, a convicted rapist with anger management issues and, you know, all kinds of weirdness in his life. It's more the face tattoo aspect of it. So I put Mike Tyson and all others with face tattoos on there. Because once you go to that route, Tony,
number four is the
you
face
don't
tattoo.
Give a flip anymore. You don't go... Every celebrity with a face tattoo is off by some degree. And I'm telling you now, if you're listening and you think I'm prejudiced against you because you have a face tattoo, you are correct.
That's right.
Okay, you're off as well.
You're number four on the
you're
list.
You're a little off as well.
You're
all right?
Four.
Every person who doesn't have one, when we're together, we talk about you, okay? It's
That's
neck
right.
tattoos, face tattoo. face, Tony. Forehead tattoo?
No, I'm with you.
Stop it.
I'm curious to see what three things scare you more than face tattoos.
Mike Tyson and all others with face tattoos going at number four. You're number four.
Number four for me, and again, this one doesn't take a whole lot of explanation. I don't want to be in a closed room with Kanye West for any period of time. I don't know what he would do to me. I don't want to have the conversation that I'd have to have with Kanye West. He just makes me uncomfortable. I enjoy his music, but I want nothing to do with Kanye himself.
Kanye coming in at number four, and the countdown continues.
Three.
Number three. It's an easy segue for me as I'll start off number three with every Kardashian. Okay? I mean, really.
Speaking of Kanye.
All of them. Just a whole lot of them. What's more scary than the Kardashians is America's fascination with the Kardashians. Ugh. What is, there's no talent? There's nothing. I mean, is Kim Kardashian attractive? Sure, she's attractive. I don't think she's the goddess that some people make her out to be, but that's fine. But there are plenty of attractive women out there that don't make like 60 million. I'm not saying she's dumb. She seems dumb, but she's pretty financially savvy,
mm-hmm.
But that whole family is a bunch of, the mom's the worst one of the lot. I don't watch the program, but it's hard for them not to seep into your consciousness. All you have to do is stand in line at Publix and read the tabloid covers. It's a kooky lot. Every Kardashian scares me, and everyone's fascination with them probably scares me even more.
Number three for me, this is the extreme method actor category for me, and there's two of them in Hollywood right now. Christian Bale and Daniel Day-Lewis. And I don't know that I'd be, I think I'd be more scared of Christian Bale in real life than I would Daniel Day-Lewis, but it depends on what Daniel Day is filming at the time. Apparently when he was filming There Will Be Blood, he was so into his character that even when they weren't shooting, he would be in character. There was somebody else that was supposed to play a part in that movie. And the one actor wasn't supposed to play two parts. He wasn't supposed to play both brothers, but Daniel Day-Lewis abused the preacher, the guy that was supposed to play the preacher in that movie, so much in the lunch line that he quit. He was just like, I can't take being around this guy because Daniel Day doesn't turn it off when he's filming a movie, and Christian Bale's the exact same way. So depending on the movie they're filming, I don't want to be around him when they're playing a bastard. I want to be as far away from him as I possibly can be. So this is the method actor category, Daniel Day and Christian Bale.
I like Christian Bale as an actor. You know, I love a lot of his roles. He needs a good beat. Doesn't he? I mean, seriously, dude, who are you?
Based on quotes I've seen, he may enjoy it.
Maybe he does.
He thinks that, like, life is violence.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Let's give him a little life. Because, I mean, just, you know, so the way he treats people, the anecdotes about how he treats people.
Oh, that video is crazy.
He's awful. Yeah. He's an awful guy, but I like his work as well. And maybe I'm coming around on Greg Hardy now. I don't know. Maybe we can tie it all in. Who's number three for you, Tyler?
For me, it's a guy who's always playing a villain. He's a super masculine guy in all of his roles. 70 years old, Danny Trejo, who plays the bad guy in Con Air, Heat, Desperado, also in the Spy Kids series.
He's also Marsha Brady now.
Danny Trejo, 70?
Yep, 70 years old. Isn't that crazy?
Holy cow.
Tortuga. Remember Tortuga?
Oh, yeah.
Tortuga with the head on the tortoise was one of the great characters on Breaking Bad from back in the day. He looks scary. I think Danny Trejo's probably a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, I bet he's cool.
I get the feeling, but he certainly has that appearance to him. All right, the countdown continues with...
Number two.
All right, number two for me. This is where Gary Busey hits the countdown for me. Gary Busey is he's a crazy person. Like, he's a crazy. I love watching him on screen. That TV show he had on Comedy Central about a decade and a half ago, it feels like now, where they basically gave him an intern to abuse for a couple of years. It's one of the funniest things Comedy Central's ever put on TV. But it was just Gary being Gary. Like, the commercial with him trying to put a seashell into a TV, That doesn't seem far-fetched for Gary Busey to me. I've heard too many stories from on sets where he's kicked guys in the gut and other places because he didn't know who they were, but they were actually working.
I saw that story yesterday when I was looking it up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The stories about him are so fantastic. I love him because he's crazy on the screen. I don't want to be anywhere near that dude because who knows what's going to happen to you.
Gary goes, who are you? Hey, I'm like a key grip or whatever the guy was. And he goes, I don't know you, and he kicks him square in the giblets. Okay, so there is definitely an element of unpredictable danger with Gary Busey. Tyler, number two for you.
I went with Steve Buscemi. He's more creepy than he is scary.
I love Steve.
And I get that, too. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these guys, my wife's whole list was filled with creepy people that kind of freak her out. Marilyn Manson was number one.
I've heard he's really nice.
Maybe. Steve Buscemi. She had Christopher Walken. She's like, what about Christopher Walken? I'm like, he cracks me up. Christopher Walken is one of the funniest dudes I can get. I mean, he does have that weird, creepy vibe to him.
No, he does. Did you ever see him do the, like, dry read of Poker Face by Lady Gaga?
No.
Just
but
walking
going, I'll be Googling oh, that later.
Oh.
So nice. I think it's probably a super unpopular skit, but when he used to do the Continental on Saturday Night Live. Champagne. When he'd answer the door and you wouldn't see the person, they'd just be shaking the camera for like, no, get away from me. I love that. My wife also had Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger. You know, Freddy. So it was all, for her, it was all people that like look scary. And for me, my number two was a guy who doesn't look scary at all, at least not to me, but Tom Cruise, representing every Scientologist out there. By the way, I'm not really scared of John Travolta, but apparently I wouldn't necessarily want to run into him at 3 a.m. at the gym either. So, you know,
that's crazy.
It's crazy. But Tom Cruise is, I think Tom Cruise does have a screw or two loose. I think he, you know, that whole, look, you know what? I was raised Catholic. We'll tell you that the wine we drink on Sunday is literally the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can think we're crazy if you want to as well. That's fine. I've yet to come across anything that is represented as being a belief of Scientology that I am saying that is not cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And if you're a Scientologist and I offended you, perhaps you need to look into some other belief system. What can I tell you? It's you, not me. All right? So that brings us to the top of the countdown.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Number one.
All right, number one. Tyler, give us a quick recap. 5 through 2. Who did you have in your top five?
Number 5, Kimbo Slice. Number 4, Gary Busey. Number 3, Danny Trejo. Number 2, Steve Buscemi. And number 1, I have Marilyn Manson.
You do. You and my wife think alike. Marilyn Manson, who played a gangbanger on Sons of Anarchy in the final season of Sons of Anarchy.
I've heard he's super chill.
Yeah, he does. Right. I think there's a big act that goes on with Marilyn Manson and the whole thing. But he's a little unsettling to look at.
No doubt.
You know, the eyes are off.
Like you said, walking down an alley at 3 a.m., that is a guy you don't want to see.
I got you, bro. I'm not
full regalia, certainly.
It is absolutely your list, and we all feel differently about different people. My top five, Crispin Glover, started out at number 5. Mike Tyson at number 4, representing all of those celebrities with face tattoos. Every Kardashian came in at number 3. Tom Cruise and pretty much every Scientologist, at least the ones I'm aware of. And my number one, because to me, again, I don't think the actor who plays Freddy Krueger is going to come to my house with claws on his fingers. I do think Suge Knight might murder me, however. Mm. Okay? So Suge Knight, is he a celebrity? Well, I suppose so.
He's in the realm.
He's in that realm, right? You know, multiple assault charges. He's right now, just this past month, has been arrested for hit-and-run attempted murder. Said he feared for his life. Suge, some of the edge of Suge, I think, has come off ever since he got knocked out and, you know, people posted video of that online. But I think Suge has some bodies buried out there, whether he killed Tupac and Biggie or not. I think he's got to. And to me, Tony, it's what's more scary than the idea of someone haunting my nightmares is someone who actually doesn't give a you know what, and who may shoot me, and because he's done it before, that kind of thing. So Suge Knight tops my list. What do you got?
For me, number five was Max Schreck, Count Orlok from Nosferatu. And again, if you haven't ever seen him, check it out, and you will be terrified. He's a scary looking dude. Number four, Kanye West. Number three, Daniel Day-Lewis and Christian Bale. That's the method actor category. Just when they're in character, that's a bad dude. I don't want to be anywhere near him. Number two, because he's nuts, Gary Busey. Number one for me, and this is almost a Percy Harvin type pick, because I honestly believe that he's blown his own career because of the way that he acts and has carried himself for the last 25 years. The stories you read about Val Kilmer as a guy who was Batman at one point. He was in Heat, which is an absolutely spectacular movie, one of the best dramas in the past 25 years. He gets in fist fights with directors. He has attacked other actors and actresses on sets. He bullies around production assistants. He is a complete and total ass on the set to the point where he has no career anymore. This is a guy that was Batman, and now he has no career because he is such a giant hemorrhoid on any set that he's involved in. People don't want to work with him at all. Number one for me is Val Kilmer.
Well, that was his probably try to play Batman was the second superhero he played. Of course, his role as Iceman.
That's right.
Oh, wait, that was not connected to the X-Men whatsoever.
No, it was not.
In Top Gun.
But he was good. Like,
Every time I've seen him,
I'm like, man, he's good. But no, he's got a terrible reputation.
Well, there you go. Val Kilmer terrifies Tony.
Fist fought Joel Schumacher on the set of Batman Forever. Like, fist fought the director, attacked his director.
You know what Suge Knight says to that? Pal.
Papa Cat.
There goes Val Kilmer. He's like, that's what you were afraid of? All right, there you go. Our first Friday top five
he's
here.
Fat now. Have you
on
seen
Jaguars
him?
Today. Val?
Yeah, he's fat Val.
Yeah, I can see that. Have you seen me? It happens, Tone. All right.
Not quite
hey, Fat Tony. It happens. All right, there you go. Friday top five.
Have you seen this picture
celebrity
that Chris sent us? Oh, I'm retweeting.
Oh, yeah.
Right
no,
now.
Oh, with the face tattoo? As I was doing my research last night, I came across that. That's some rapper. I don't know who
Gucci
he is.
Gucci Mane.
The ice cream cone on his face. Who is it?
It's
you know
Gucci Mane.
Oh, that's Gucci Mane.
How do you guys not know him?
Well, now I do, all right? He's also got, it looks like, some eye black tattooed under his eye, or maybe they had something removed there. I don't know.
He's in prison.
Got a big ice cream cone with the lightning bolts coming. Oh, shocking. Is he in prison?
He's
really
in prison.
Wow.
Shocker.
I think it's not...
Way to fit the stereotype face tattoo.
I'm guessing face tattoos are a little more common in prison than they are in the general population at large. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight coming up. It's Jaguars today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we got to get to the fan feedback spotlight today, Tony, not just about scary celebrities, of course. Fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, including Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini. Visit TomBush.com for more information. The next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, you can follow them on Twitter, at Tom Bush Motors. I bring you the fan feedback spotlight today. We asked you, whither Percy Harvin? If the Jets cut him loose, as is expected at this point, should the Jags be a player for his services? What do we get, Tony?
From Christoph, if he contributes, especially in the return game, then yes. From at Irish Jaguar, I don't see what extra he would bring to the table that we don't have already besides trouble. From Michael, Jags don't need a guy. You have to manufacture touches for it. Wide receiver who is also a headache slash bad dude. From Brian, no. Super talented, but the dude's a head case and wouldn't fit in the locker room. Hashtag bad seed. From Black Dog, we got, without doubt, PH is a substantial threat to be accounted for, but a threat to team chemistry, too. From Mike, no, because Justin Blackman will be back and Ryan O will be mad about it.
Yes, he will.
From Eric, we got, absolutely not. Doesn't fit in too much of a headache. From Chris, Jags shouldn't pursue Harvin. He doesn't give that wide receiver room a veteran leader. Hashtag even if he's released. From Kevin, Percy signing could work. Show off Jags' supposed positive coaching influences. Marone, Sullivan, Osen. From Ronald, we got, I love his talent, but it seems like wherever he goes, he can't mesh with his teammates. So no. And finally from Nick, heck no, unless you want Royal Rumble in the locker room. Hashtag body slam Harvin.
So, you know, Howard would like Royal Rumble in the locker room.
Sure.
That's one of the things that makes him happy is wrestling. I would say, just rough estimates, 70 to 80% were against the idea, something like that.
Yeah.
One of the first ones we got was from Grant at Jags Make Me Sad on Twitter. I'm sorry, Grant. He said, yes, Jags haven't had an explosive player like that ever. Says Fred Taylor. Says Jimmy Smith. I think they have had a couple of explosive players like that, but regardless, you know, I don't know if he is that explosive player right now, Tony. I read a big article about how the Jets used him differently in terms of what patterns, where they lined him up compared to Seattle. It improved his yards per catch, but it's still not eye-opening, and I get it. Some of that has to do with quarterback play, but I think Percy Harvin's a little bit like, you know, You have a guy, puts up numbers, and a couple of years ago with the Minnesota Vikings was the leader, I think, in all-purpose yardage when he got hurt about, I don't know, maybe six games into the season when you factored in kickoff returns, what he did on offense. But
yeah,
we've been chasing that production for several years now and don't know if he's ever going to get it back. And when you look at it, though, you know, 4 years, $41.5 million, I wouldn't mind spending that on a receiver. I just like to get somebody a little bit more reliable, I think, than Percy. And he does come with the temperament issues that come with it. Would he be happy? Would he even consider coming to a place? I think he'd probably consider any place that would pay him big money. But if you come in here, Tony, and the Jags aren't winning big, and you're playing with a lot of young guys, and you're still not necessarily being featured in the offense, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe I put too much stock on the whole chemistry thing.
Maybe we all do, but look, this is the guy that's been, you know, thrown out of a couple places now. Minnesota, where he was an effective player, they decided to move on. It's Seattle, where that's a championship-caliber football team.
Championship and, locker room.
Right, and they decided to move on from that guy. And now the New York Jets, who have maybe a dysfunctional locker room, are saying we're ready to move on if that is indeed what they decide to do. I'm curious to see what kind of team is going to take a chance on his talent, because I do believe it's still there. He's a playmaker waiting to happen if he gets used in the right way. I'm curious to see who's going to take that chance on that guy. I don't think it should, will, or will be Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't think it will either, ultimately. But you know what? I hope add a few more of these guys to the pool. And, you know, maybe that just makes it more likely you end up with one of the other guys you're interested in. Maybe somebody else sees Percy Harvin as more desirable than you do and answers a wide receiver hole, or fills a wide receiver hole with him instead of maybe Jeremy Maclin or somebody sure. else. You know what I mean? And then maybe that leaves a little bit better market for you as far as that goes. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor. Thanks to all of our great sponsors here on Jaguars today. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, everybody have a happy Friday the 13th and a happy Valentine's Day and happy anniversary one day early to my lovely bride, Heather. 17 years of wedded bliss. Eat your hearts out, everybody. That's our anniversary tomorrow. For everybody mentioned, and stick around for XL Primetime. That does it for Jaguars today on this Friday, live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.